Bauer.
I'm Dan Olson Bang.
And this is GradCast, brought to you by Syracuse University. In today's episode, we're going to talk about job offers and negotiating those job offers. And we're using our frequently asked questions format. So these are the questions we get from students quite a bit. So let's get started. Dan, here's a question we get very often. I was told I was going to get a job offer from a company, or I'm waiting on a job offer. What can I do? Is there anything I can do?
It's an excruciating time. I remember for the job that I currently have, waiting for maybe a week longer than I expected to get a response of yes or no. And I did really want this job, and I still do, as a matter of fact. And over the course of it, I remember just walking around all the time with my phone in my hand. And at one point I thought, I'm going to break this thing if I keep on squeezing it. So eventually on a Friday, I just decided I'm going to put this thing down. I can't do this anymore. I went down to the laundry, did my laundry. It was in the basement, came back up, and I'd missed the call. And of course, that was my
luck.
That's
always when it happens.
Yeah, no kidding, right?
Yeah.
So obviously, I called back, and it's probably fairly plain that I got the job. But I remember that really excruciating time. And we hear this from students all the time. They say they were going to get back to me. It's been 2 weeks. What do I do? When do I prod them? Do I prod them? And those are all really important questions. The first thing I'd say, and in general, I'd say this about negotiating, is ask us. You know, everybody's situation is different. All the scenarios are different. You have different variables on the table. So that's the first thing to say. The second thing to say is you do have a right after a while, here that I said after a while, to ping somebody and you know, write and say, I remain interested in the position. I was just wondering if there are any updates. Beyond a certain degree of tactful pinging, though, just a short email asking about that and saying that you're willing to answer any questions they may have, there's not a lot you can do, with one exception. And we actually will get to that in just a little while. But the exception is if something new has happened. So let's say you have an offer from another company. Now it might be a time to do that, because that way you can see if they're willing to push up their timeline responding to this new information. And again, talk to us about it. We're happy to answer any questions, but that's certainly an important thing to say.
I think the thing to remember that we've talked about as well is time moves so much differently when you're in your job search or you're waiting for a job offer. Yeah. Like Dan said, every moment is excruciating. But for the people who are making the decisions or reaching out on the offer, there are so many factors that come into play that can delay a response to you. And so there's no set timeline or law that requires a company to get back to you throughout the hiring process. And so, Dan, you always say this, actually, you know, for you, you're waiting on a job offer. For the company, it's Tuesday.
You stole my line.
I can't believe you forgot to say it. You know, they're going about other types of things. Hiring you is very important, but it's not the only thing that's going on. And then, of course, there's the emergencies that do happen, you know, sickness or even just a planned vacation that could delay the process, or, you know, a dean or a department chair, or maybe the head of the company needs to meet with a new hire and that person is unavailable. There's an emergency situation to deal with or something like that. So there's all different types of things. And I think the longer that you wait for that offer, the longer it gets into your head that something's wrong, something's not going to go right, I'm not going to get the offer. And of course, until you get the offer, there's no guarantee you will get one. However, most likely, if you've been told you are getting an offer, that is coming. And patience is something to really try to practice and focus on.
One thing that I remember my boss saying is, you know, in terms of guessing what they're doing and what they're thinking about, everything means something, but not necessarily what you think it means. And that was a really, really critical piece of information. I remember just the guesswork that goes into trying to figure out, well, it's Tuesday, so maybe they got through all the emails on Monday and now they're going to send me something. Well, now it's Thursday and they better wrap it up. Oh, it's Friday afternoon. You start to do all this kind of calculation. And in reality, there are a million things that are going on, and that's it. Right? They have different priorities, a different rhythm to it. And so guesswork only makes so much sense, I'd say.
Right. And just like with every situation, everything is unique. And so when you come to chat with Dan or me about this, it's important for us to get all of the details. So that way we can help to guide you in your individual situation, just like everything else that we talk about. So let's move on to our next question. What should I say when I receive a job offer over the phone? So a verbal job offer, you know, answer the phone, the job is yours, here's the details. How do you respond to that?
The first thing to do on the phone in real time is to express your gratitude and appreciation for the offer. I'm so happy to hear this. This is very exciting news, even frankly, if it's not exciting news. You should just demonstrate that you are happy about it. I usually say, though, that you may not have all the information in that moment, and you may not actually know how you feel about it until you get a minute. And so I always say, I guess there are two things to get from that situation. One of them is to say, I'm so happy to hear about this. This is wonderful news. When would you like a response from me? And then the other piece of information, of course, is you can say to them, I'd love to have this in writing just so that I can kind of take a look at it and understand all the details of the offer. That's not an unreasonable ask. It's not something that you need to do with a sense of aggression or suspicion. They're not doing that because they are untrustworthy people. They just often they're rushing out a call because the thing is going to end up in the bureaucratic nebulous Netherlands for a while, and they want to make sure that they can get a sense to you that they're interested before that long process. So usually companies are willing to give you time. Sometimes I hear people say, well, what if the company says, I need to hear from you right now? I would say that probably is not actually a very legitimate offer. I feel like any company should understand that you need time to ponder it. I remember somebody once asked me, can I ask them if I can talk to my mom about it? And I said, you don't have to specify who you'll talk to about it. We all hope, and I hope that you have a team of people who are willing to weigh in and help. And I hope that Tracy and I can be a part of that team, but you just have a right to think about it. Sometimes it's just a night to sleep on it. Sometimes it's 2 weeks. Sometimes it's even longer. Speaking of the academic job market, it can actually go on for quite a bit of time because in reality, you're negotiating an offer in February for a job that starts in late August or early September. So while there are deadlines for them, they are to some extent more artificial than they would be for a job where they'd like you to start in a month and a half to 3 months. So these are all different situations. The responses are all different. But the main thing to remember is just express your pleasure and ask for further information and time.
And what's really important about getting a job offer over the phone, like Dan mentioned, is getting those details in writing, because a job offer is not simply just your compensation, your money that you will receive, your annual salary. It is also so much more than that. And getting all of the details in writing about your benefits, which include everything from retirement to paid time off to medical care, is really important and does influence how much money you will actually bring home from your paycheck. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in just a moment.
One question that we hear a lot, Tracy, is, and I think you're really suited to answer this one, how do I research salaries? Maybe they ask when I'm submitting the application for what my salary range is. Maybe there is some other arrangement like that. What do I do to find out what's a reasonable salary for me?
Yeah, this is a really tough question that we get all the time. And there are a few factors you want to consider and research when you're thinking about salary. One, you want to understand the industry as well as the size of the company that you're interested in. The other thing you want to think about is what benefits are just listed on their website. A lot of companies won't give you the cost of these benefits, but they'll mention different things, again, such as 401k, retirement funds, medical benefits, paid time off, or even some other benefits, depending on the job that you're doing, which may include stipends for commuting or for travel expenses, things like that. So you really need to get an idea of what's being covered throughout the process. And in company websites, like I said, they'll give you some basic information, but you'll receive that when you get the offer. The other thing to consider when you're doing this research is also where the position is located. if a position is located in San Francisco, it should be paying you a lot more because of the cost of living, which means an apartment and transportation, maybe food costs or utilities, will cost a lot more in San Francisco than it would in Syracuse, New York. And this is where I think students get tripped up a little bit, is comparing offers with their friends. You know, one friend has an offer in Los Angeles, California. One friend has an offer in Austin, Texas. And one friend has an offer in, let's say, in Syracuse. And the person who looks at these numbers might say, oh, I'm getting paid $75,000 in Syracuse, but my friend's getting paid $95,000 in San Francisco. That's way more money, when in fact, the cost of living in San Francisco is so much more expensive than it is in Syracuse, that the person in Syracuse is actually bringing home more money than that person in San Francisco. So doing some research on the cost of living, on your industry, on your company is really important. Another thing to think about is the resources that are available for you to do this research. And those include salary.com or even NACE, which is our National Association of Colleges and Employers, which will help you to kind of see what salaries are being offered to individuals that have similar backgrounds as you, as well as going into similar positions. Oftentimes, I think it's really important to remember that companies do want to pay you what you're worth and what value you bring to the company. So while it's important for you to understand the cost of living, when you go to understand the salary, you wouldn't say, I need to make this much money because my apartment's going to cost me $2,000 a month. Instead, you focus on the skills and education and experiences you have in order to showcase why you deserve a certain salary. Again, a lot of companies do want to pay you what you're worth. They want you to be happy and compensated for the skills that you bring, but it's just important for you to be able to deliver a range ahead of time. And of course, we're always available to help you with trying to figure that out. We've kind of teased this a little bit already. What are some of the aspects of a job offer that I can negotiate?
There are two different approaches that I would take to answering a question about aspects of the job offer to negotiate, because academic positions are a little bit different from others. So just taking, for a moment, the industry or non-academic job, for a lack of a better word, something that a master's student or a PhD might get, the things that you can negotiate are most obviously salary, which is the one everybody thinks of, but there are a lot of other ones. So for instance, the start date is inevitably something that you'll potentially need to negotiate, especially if you're relocating. Relocation costs can be an important aspect of it. Sometimes time off is a variable, although not always. Some things are really not open to negotiation. It's not usually the case that you can negotiate, for instance, your health insurance plan. That's usually, you might have a few choices, you may have no choices, but that's usually not on the table for negotiating. I typically see people negotiating, though, the amount of money that they're given to relocate, the salary, and, you know, variables like that. Now, for a PhD, things get a lot more complicated. If you're in the sciences, for instance, a chemist, you have startup costs to consider. And, you know, I won't go into this in great depth right now, but you need lab space. You might need various pieces of high-tech equipment, or you might need to have access to them at the minimum. Just about anybody can negotiate or can consider negotiating different types of computers. Let's say you're used to using a Mac and there's software that's available for it that's not available for a PC. That is usually something that is negotiable. So those are aspects of it. For the PhDs in the room, so to speak, just know that there are a lot of variables and that I'm very happy to talk to you about them. In either case, though, information and good research are your friend. So make sure that you learn about what's fair for your position. Learn, as Tracy said, about what's fair where you are. And know when it's firm. In other words, there comes a point when people are not willing to negotiate these things anymore. And at that point, you need to accept or reject the offer. But certainly, I think it never hurts to ask in almost any case, as long as you do it in the right way. The most important part of an offer that anybody can negotiate, and what I think Tracy and I find ourselves negotiating the most, believe it or not, is time. How much time before you need to hear from me? I'm waiting on another offer. Can you give me just a little bit more time to wait for that one? I want to see that offer through. And more than anything else, you often find yourself in a position, and it's a fortunate position to be in, but can be very painful for people, where there are essentially two destinies in front of you. I remember one person that I worked with had a choice between Melbourne and Taiwan. And those are just completely different lives. She's from Taiwan. There's this university in Melbourne, and it's a good position, but then there's being at home. And one offered before the other. I believe Melbourne offered before Taiwan offered. And so then the question was, gosh, do I take this really, really different lifestyle when I know that there's a position that might well hire me? And in that one, she said, you know, can I just get some more time? And they were willing to grant that to her. You don't always have the luxury, but really, frankly, the thing that comes up most is time.
I think it's important to also note that you want all of these details in writing in that initial offer, but then any negotiation that takes place, you should also ask for a follow-up with those details in writing as well. So that way, everything is very clear. When we are speaking verbally to each other, there could sometimes be some misunderstandings. But when you have it in writing, I think it's incredibly helpful for you to be able to understand that. And that being said, when you go to negotiate any part of your job offer, you should try to do so over the phone. Set up a time to talk, again, reiterate your excitement or interest, and then go through and ask some questions that you have. And you wouldn't want to try to negotiate, at least I don't think, you know, 10 to 15 different parts of your job offer. You want to focus on the ones that are high priority. And then sometimes they give you the answer right away. Sometimes the person you're speaking with has to go get approval or discuss it with someone else. And so the thing to remember is you might be waiting for more time, right? They might have to do some things and they might come back to you and say, we can't do this, we can do this, or you asked for $5,000 more in salary, but we can do $3,000 more. How does this sound? So you want to have an idea of how interested you are in the position and what would make you excited to say yes, because even after all of this negotiation, you do want to start off the position in a good way and show them you're excited and not that you were just trying to get every little piece out of the offer. So putting it down in writing is really important.
One thing that people often ask me too is, how do I ask about the negotiating? How do I tell somebody that I want to negotiate? Do I write them an email and say, I want to negotiate with you? Or do I just call them up out of the blue? Or do I write them a long email with all the information in it? As Tracy said, I would also discourage long emails about this. What I would do instead, I often think of it this way. So if you were to be broken up with, God forbid, or break up with somebody, it's often the case that people will preface it by saying, we need to talk. And in that case, people know what's coming, right? That's the genre of breaking up with somebody. And similarly, I suggest writing an email that says something like, I have a few questions about the offer, and I'm just wondering if there's a convenient time when we can discuss this over the phone or Zoom. And that way, the person on the other line realizes, okay, we're going to be negotiating now. And that way, it doesn't come as a surprise to them. They're aware of what's going on, and you can kind of start on the right foot. They're prepared, you're prepared.
There's so many analogies with the job search and dating, isn't there? And this is so true.
Jobs and love. It's all the same. It's all of a piece.
Absolutely. So negotiating can be tough. And we understand too, some of you may be reluctant to negotiate. It is nerve-wracking. And one point to make before we move on to our next question is, there is very little evidence, if any, that any company would take back or rescind their job offer just because you're asking questions and trying to negotiate. So I encourage you to consider negotiating and also to think about that throughout the job search process. Because if you've already mentioned that you would take the position for $85,000 and they come back with $85,000 and then you said, oh, wait, I actually want $110,000, that's going to be, you know, considered a bit extreme. So you want to be operating in good faith throughout the process and also being a person who, you know, says one thing at the process and then, you know, offers that consistency throughout the process. Now, of course, there are exceptions. If they were considering you for one position and now they're considering you for a more senior level position with more responsibility, that should then, you know, consider an increase in your salary.
Just remember that all of this is part of the interview. And so even if people don't rescind it, as Tracy said, you can sour things. And so I would just caution you to make sure that you always stay positive. You're always considerate and thoughtful. You accept when it seems final and are prepared to move on.
And hopefully we haven't scared you from negotiating. So, no. But again, we're here to help. Great. So Dan, another question we get is, what if I'm hearing back, or what if I'm waiting to hear back from other companies? I've received an offer, but I've been in the final process with other companies and I might be getting offers from them.
I've alluded to this earlier and I can just come back to it to say, there are different ways that this question goes and different angles to it. So for instance, let's say you get an offer on Monday and you have already gone through the entire interview process for another company and they say, we're going to get back to you sometime later in the week. You should go back to company A, the one that has offered, and say something like, or at least you have the option to say, you know, I'm very, very interested in this position. I just want to let you know that there's another position that has already indicated that they'd like to do an offer. And I just feel like I want to see it through to make sure that I've made the right decision. And typically people will be okay with that. That's very different. So in other words, they may extend the period of time, at least through the end of the week, to accommodate you. I remember when I was first told that that was an option to give somebody, I was shocked. No, take my offer now. If you don't want my offer, don't take my offer. But that's not really true. That's really not how it goes. People usually accommodate that. On the other hand, let's say you got an offer on Monday again, and you have Skype or Zoom interviewed with two companies, and that was on Thursday or Friday of last week, and you know that there's another round of interview. You have, in that case, a lot less leverage than you would in the other case, because you're really early in the process with them. It may take weeks for them to go through that process with you, because they're going to schedule the next round of interviews, and then they're going to take the time to deliberate, to make a decision. There are very few companies out there who are willing to wait more than, I'd say, a couple of weeks on a candidate. And so in that case, sadly, you really have a decision to make, and you should do the best you can to make a good decision. But I always say to people who ask me about this scenario, everybody has a different appetite for risk. Some people are willing to give up the offer that's in their hand right now for something that seems better but is chancy. Other people would never do that. Other people would say, look, this is an offer. I can't compromise an offer that I have. I like it well enough. I'll take it. And neither Tracy nor I can tell you how risk adverse you are as a person. But it's something I think to really keep in mind. So I think there's a lot of gray area in this question. And I think, as Tracy said earlier, every scenario is going to be a little different. I've had companies stretch out their period during which somebody could deliberate about the offer for a surprisingly long time, particularly for academic jobs. But everybody has a limit and you have to respect that limit. Tracy, what about somebody who says, I was given 2 weeks to give an answer, and in that window, how soon do I need to give a response? Do I just shoot something out? Do I wait till the last minute? What's the best way to do this?
I think the thing to remember with giving an answer to a job offer is, of course, there's going to be questions you have or concerns or, you know, desires for knowing about what other companies are doing with you as a job seeker. The thing to remember is, if you're given 2 weeks to give an answer and you absolutely know that you are saying yes to this position, you should not wait the full 2 weeks to give a response. Answering more quickly shows that you're excited and eager to start the position. So if you've got this time, I know that a lot of students come to me and say, well, I was in the middle of midterms, and so I didn't get a chance to think about it. You do need to make space for that. And I know you're busy, and I know you've got a lot of priorities. But if you wait too long, or if they say you have until 5 p.m. and you wait until 4:55 p.m. to call them to give a response, that might set the company to think that you aren't as excited about the offer. So you do want to show that enthusiasm. I would say if you were very interested in the position, all of the negotiating is all set, you know, you definitely would want to respond within a week. Now, if you are the type of person that tends to jump on situations very quickly, remember you don't have to say yes in that first day or two. And it might be important for you to be a little bit more patient, think through all the different scenarios, do a little bit more research, and then say yes. I think the sooner the better, but you don't have to respond within that first day. Again, showing that enthusiasm is going to set you off on a great start for your new position. Great. Well, those were the most frequently asked questions we get on job offers and negotiation. The thing to remember is we hope that we are working with you throughout the job search process. So that way, if you get an offer, you're already setting yourself up to be in a good situation to either negotiate or accept. Because if you're researching the companies, putting in good salary figures into your application, if it's required, and in knowing about the industry and the company, then you're already going to have a feel for what could be offered if you get that opportunity. And we hope that you get far more job offers than rejections, but we also know it can be tricky if you've never gotten into this situation. So just like an interview, we hope that you're more excited about the job offer than nervous when it comes, you know, out to you, whether via phone or email. Thank you for listening, and we hope you enjoy the rest of your day.
Boom, 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 boom.
Okay.
Okay.